Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the hush money trial, Hope Hicks, a former Trump White House aide, is testifying. Prosecutors calling Hicks to the stand to answer questions about earlier witness testimony about the payment deal made to hide Trump's alleged affairs ahead of the 2016 election. ABC's Catherine Falders has more.
There was that testimony from David Pecker that Hicks and another White House official at the time, this was Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who, as you remember, was Donald Trump's press secretary for a time, called him in March of 2018 to strategize about the National Enquirer's contract with Playboy model Karen McDougal. So we're going to hear about that 2018 incident.
In Texas, water rescues and mandatory evacuations underway in the Houston area following torrential rain and storms. Harris County officials say rivers have yet to crest. Job hires slowed in April with 175,000 jobs added last month, fewer than expected, but the Federal Reserve is trying to cool the labor market to tame inflation. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Student protesters are meeting with University of Wisconsin-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin today. That's after police and campus leaders promised to take no action against pro-Palestinian protesters for 24 hours. 34 people were arrested on Wednesday over tents the demonstrators put up on campus. Workers in Wisconsin say the government needs to fully fund Social Security. Jessica LaPointe is a union leader in Green Bay. She says chronic underfunding means slow service.
Service delays are far and wide, and it could take, you know, more than 4 months to start your retirement benefits up.
As part of May Day commemorations this week, unions are calling on Congress to find long-term funding solutions. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. As pro-Palestinian protesters set up shop in the Duluth Civic Center courtyard, the Duluth Police Department is warning them it's against the law to set up campsites there. The protest began around 2 p.m. on Wednesday at the Duluth Public Library, and protesters stopped by Wells Fargo and Caterpillar on their way to City Hall to demand that they divest from Israel. In a press release, the city said they respect the First Amendment rights of the protesters, who have been peaceful, but will monitor the situation. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers was in Superior on Wednesday as part of his fourth annual pothole patrol. The tour includes stops across the state for Governor Evers to discuss the need for road improvement projects and advocate for Wisconsin drivers to slow down and exercise caution when driving through work zones. Since 2019, the governor's office has improved over 7,400 miles of road and over 1,700 bridges. A portion of the most recent state budget also allocated significant funding for road repair. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Pacers 120-98 despite injuries to his knee and Achilles. Damian Lillard scored 28 points in 35 minutes of play. Head coach Doc Rivers.
It was tough because you want them on the floor, but you also knew that it may take a minute, and in a playoff game six, you probably don't have that minute. And I just love the fact that he knew he wasn't 100%. There's a lot of players that wouldn't have played, so just more respect for Dame coming from me. But the fact that he just wanted to be out there with his guys is pretty cool.
The Bucks finished the regular season with a record of 49-33, 2-4 in the postseason. Damian Lillard.
You play an entire 82-game season. You go through training camp. You go through all the ups and downs of a NBA regular season, and you get to the point where, all right, now we're going to play for everything, and you're not whole. You know, you don't have the best opportunity to reach where you want to reach. So it's frustrating, it's disappointing, but, you know, it's part of the game.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Plenty of sunshine today, a little breezy too, especially this morning. Our high 67 with wind southwest at 10 to 20, but a few gusts up to 25 possible here through the morning. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening, some sprinkles after midnight, 43 tomorrow. Cloudy with showers early, then clearing 60 on Sunday, sunny, warmer, high of 67. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, Mary Mazzio, whose documentary Bad River focuses on the effort to remove a petroleum pipeline endangering waters up north.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We are live here at the Pablo Center on location in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is the 3rd of May, 2024. Welcome in on a TGIF edition. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer back at the world headquarters, high atop top State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommer, happy TGIF to you.
Thank goodness it is Friday.
Yes, thank goodness it is Friday. It's a beautiful day here in the Chippewa Valley in Eau Claire. How is it back home downtown in Madison?
It is very bright, very sunny out. But pretty nice if you're into that kind of thing.
Absolutely. I am. I am ready for some sun. And it is a beautiful day for those watching on the stream, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube TV. A special thanks to our videographers here on location, Chris and Emily, who friends of mine who are volunteering their services to make us look spectacular today. And we're going to feature some of the great shots here. And we are in the atrium. We're on the second floor of this beautiful premiere entertainment facility here and performance facility in downtown Eau Claire, Wisconsin, called the Pablo Center at the Confluence. We are here, of course, for the world premiere tonight of a brand new film, a documentary by Fireside Productions called When Rubber Hit the Road. It is the story of the Uniroyal Tire Factory closure here in Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley, and subsequently some of the rebirth in that building and how it affected the area as far as economically, but also socially, and how some of those people, all these years later, are still getting together. We will talk with one of the key filmmakers, for When Rubber Hit the Road. BJ Hollers will be here. We sat down with him on Wednesday. We're going to play that interview for you at 12:30 coming up here on the program. And then in hour number two, at 1:30, really, really excited about this. If you are from the Chippewa Valley, if you live in the Chippewa Valley and watch Eau Claire TV, WEAU Channel 13, it'll be an old-time reunion as our now friend and colleague at Civic Media from Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow, joins his former co-anchor at WEAU, Judy Clark, the legendary Judy Clark, who is still on television here at WEAU Channel 13. They're going to be sitting right next to me for the first time side by side since Pat left WEAU. We will rejoin that historic anchor team because they actually covered the Uniroyal Tire plant closure back in the 90s. So we'll be rejoining Pat and Judy in hour number two, their remembrances of the Eudora tire closure here as well. So big show today. Really happy to be here. But first, we're going to go via phone back to Madison on campus of the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus. And we welcome in from the Daily Cardinal newspaper, one of the two student newspapers at UW-Madison, the state news editor, Anna Kleiber, who has been with us most of the week, because we don't want to forget the important story. Of course, the student protests continue across the country. President Biden, we played his remarks for you yesterday, spoke out on his thoughts. And I know when we last caught up with Anna yesterday, or Anna, pardon me, she had said and told us that there is going to be more further discussion. So, Anna, I want to bring you in now live from the UW-Madison campus. How are things on campus in general this morning, Anna?
Yeah, things seem to be going well. I'm coming alive here on Library Mall. I did speak with some of the protest organizers after their meeting administrators this morning. Discussions are continuing to unfold as far as coming to a concrete end. Organizers are still doing the negotiation process, in their words, and they have been offered another meeting tomorrow. It is unclear if the police will remain off of Library Mall. There were no discussions on if there would be law enforcement action within the next day or two.
All right. That's great reporting because, of course, yesterday you told us, and it was absolutely accurate, that the Chancellor administration and the leaders of the student protest on campus had agreed there'd be no further police action until there were these discussions today. And now, if I'm understanding right, those discussions have happened, but there seems to be no confirmation that there won't be further police action at this time. Is that accurate?
Yes. That is what we know as of now. They were offered another meeting tomorrow where lawyers would be present to try to come to an agreement, according to our organizers here. And the organizers have shared and expressed that they feel that this meeting would be pointless without the disclosure of UW Foundation's investments. They were offered a phone call this afternoon to further discuss meetings this morning. They were unclear at the time I spoke with them regarding who this phone call would be with, but negotiations and conversations are continuing to happen here at UW-Madison.
Talking with Anna Kleiber, she is the state news editor for the Daily Cardinal newspaper on campus. Anna, what's the general feeling right now of the encampment on Library Mall there? About how many folks would you say are part of the encampment at this point? And A, B, are things fairly peaceful? And C, what sort of law enforcement presence is there, if any?
Yeah, so I'm sitting right on Library Mall as we speak. The encampment has only grown within the last 24 hours. I feel like not too many additional tents have been pitched, but it's grown by at least 5 to 10. I would say there's a couple, 100, 200 people here, just a lot of, life in the encampment itself, a lot of people sitting at Library Mall on the grass, just being here, being present. Things are peaceful. As of right now, I don't see any law enforcement around. I do know the last few days they've just kind of had UWPD in the area, as they always are on Library Mall. But from what I'm seeing right now, I don't see any police officers, and everything is peaceful. People are just conversing and hanging out on the lawn.
And finally, Anna, we asked you this yesterday, and I just kind of wanted to update you. And realizing, of course, you're not going around asking for people's ID necessarily or where they're from, but your general sense, not only are you a journalist, but you also happen to be a student at UW-Madison. But what's your general sense, just being on campus all the time? Do you feel that most of the folks who are a part of the encampment right now, are they students and or faculty and staff members of UW? Or is there a sense that other community people at large or others from outside of the university are part of this?
I would say that it is primarily campus-centric in the sense that the main organizers are students and faculty. I will say that as, you know, press and coverage of this event, you know, reaches wider audience, there are community members that are activists and active in their own right that have, you know, joined and, like, have been present. But as far as everybody who is here as of now, they all seem to be here for that common cause. And things are, again, relatively, you know, peaceful and just calm and quiet here on Library Mall.
Sure. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you have talked to some of the student leaders or their spokespeople, as it were, at this point this morning?
Yes, yeah. So they had their morning. They usually do an update around 11 a.m. They shared out, their spokesperson, Jules, shared out how the meeting had gone. And then another spokesperson answered a few clarifying questions from media.
Okay. And your sense is that they're still entrenched at this point, that unless they are satisfied with their list of their words, not mine, so-called demands, that unless those are met, they're going to continue to stay in this encampment. Is that your sense?
Yeah. As far as the vibes that I've been picking up, they seem very committed to their cause. Doesn't seem like organizers are planning on going anywhere. In the meeting this morning, the organizers did share that administration had reiterated that they wanted those encampments, like the tents and the encampment, to come down. But organizers say that they aren't planning to go anywhere until, you know, conversations lead to something that is productive for them and their cause.
Anna, is there anything else that you feel our statewide audience should be aware of the student encampment at UW-Madison Library Mall that I have not asked you so far?
Not at the moment. I do know that other campus groups will likely make an appearance later tonight. There is a planned, I'm going to say, Sabbath, Jewish Sabbath. At 7:30, where Jewish students who are supportive of the cause are going to come and show their support for the encampment and these efforts. So I do know we will be on the scene, you know, for the next couple hours, just watching things unfold.
Okay. Anna Kleiber, the state news editor for the Daily Cardinal, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, not only your reporting duties, but also being a student as well. And I would encourage folks to follow you on socials as well as the entire team at the Daily Cardinal. I continue to be just amazed and awed at the great reporting, the great journalism that's coming out of the Daily Cardinal. So I encourage people to follow your socials over the weekend. And if you'd be so kind, we would love to check back in with you next week to see how things went over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anna Kleiber, thank you so much. Stay safe out there and have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful weekend as well. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You too.
Thank you so much. Anna Kleiber, the state news editor for the Daily Cardinal, one of the two great student newspapers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Great reporting there. And so just to recap, really things are peaceful right now, both from a student protest side and law enforcement. It sounds like just normal campus police that do their normal patrols. Nothing out of the ordinary right now on campus. And talks continue between the leaders of the protest and also the University of Wisconsin administration, including UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin. We shall see what comes next. What comes next is an interview with BJ Hollers, one of the two filmmakers. We'll talk about that film and with him as we continue to roll on live from the Pablo Center in downtown Eau Claire on Civic Media.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. We are live on location at the Pablo Center at the Confluence for the Performing Arts, downtown Eau Claire, Wisconsin, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This was Amers. Well done. Back at our world headquarters. A little jazz here. Yeah, any Eau Claire connection in particular there?
Yes. That tune is Refuge by Jeffrey Keyser, an Eau Claire-born Grammy-winning pianist and jazz composer. And this is one of his Grammy-winning tunes.
Wow. Super cool. We talked a little bit about this a couple days ago, I think. But if you look at the amount of talent of creators, whether that's music, whether that's theater, whether that's, you know, writing, art, whatever it is, Eau Claire is just really a center for creative people. I have family, my sister, brother-in-law, nieces live here in the Eau Claire area. So been coming up here, you know, quite a bit over the years, over the last 25 years or so. And it just continues to amaze me. And I believe the Pablo Center was built around 2018, 2019. And of course, it didn't get a lot of use at first because we were just kind of going into the pandemic here. But over the last couple of years, as we have emerged from COVID and the pandemic, if you look at the list of shows coming here, I mean, there, you know, Dear Evan Hansen, a Tony Award-winning musical, going to come here and perform at the Pablo Center. There's a lot of great local theater here as well. There's a children's theater here. I think they just got done doing Oliver a couple of nights ago. So there's all kinds of great performances that are coming to northwestern Wisconsin here in the Chippewa Valley. And it is a beautiful, again, these great shots here, courtesy of our videographers today at the pod. What you're seeing behind me, if you're watching on the stream, is this beautiful atrium. And we're on the second floor. There we are. Look at that great shot. Look at that great shot. I mean, this is fantastic. So you're looking at the shot there, and you see this really cool, I'll call them chandeliers, but kind of creative lighting. And then on the right of your screen, there's this wall of all the folks, or many of the folks, who have been contributors, who have given private money to help build this facility, or who did build this facility. We're on the second floor right now. The main doors are just below us here. But you look at the beautiful light, the colored windows, the clear window, the sun coming in. The place itself is really a work of art. And so really appreciate being here. Thank you to the hospitality for all the folks at the Pablo Center. It's really a pleasure to be here and to showcase not just Eau Claire, not just this premiere movie tonight, When Rubber Hit the Road, but also the Pablo Center itself. So many thanks to all of those who made this possible. We're going to be talking here after the 12:30 break. And we sat down a couple of days ago, just in fairness, so that, because, you know, it's premiere night. He's got a couple of things to do. But one of the two filmmakers for this world premiere tonight, his name is BJ Hollers. And his story and how he ended up here and how he and his writing partner and film partner put this all together is super cool. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But just to give you a sense of this movie, again, called When Rubber Hit the Road, it's a documentary. It's going to be premiering tonight here at the Pablo. There are we just checked in at the box office downstairs. There are, I don't want to say literally a handful, but probably less than 50 tickets at this point left. But if you are in the Eau Claire area or Chippewa Valley area and you want to come down to the Pablo tonight at 7 o'clock, check it out, the Pablo Center. And you can buy tickets online. You can also buy them at Fireside Productions. There's a link there as well. And Mr. Zomers, I believe you put the link in our show notes as well, or on the page.
Yes. Once the podcast posts at about 1 p.m., I'll have a link there. Mm-hmm. It is just pablocenter.org, though, if you want to check it out before then.
See, look at that. Mr. Zomers is always on top of it. So I appreciate that, Aaron. So pablocenter.org is where you can buy tickets. Again, just a few remaining. It's not going to be I think the entire film is about an hour, maybe hour and a half tops. And then the unique thing tonight is that the filmmakers and some of the people featured in the film are also going to be doing a question and answer session tonight. And I think that's going to be so wonderful to hear what they've been up to, how their lives were changed because of the Uniroyal Tire closure here in Eau Claire. And part of that building, the Uniroyal building, has been repurposed, and there are some cool and new things going on there. So it's going to be quite a story, quite an opportunity to hear about these lives, these stories that were upended when Uniroyal closed. So we'll be talking to BJ Hollers about them and about this movie here. And then coming up at 1:30, another great opportunity. Of course, he comes on our program. We always appreciate it on Wednesdays. Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio. And he, before he was, you know, doing Up North News and before he was a state senator, he was a local news anchor and producer and reporter for many years here in the Chippewa Valley at WEAU, Channel 13 News. It is the NBC affiliate here in the Chippewa Valley. He is going to be rejoined for the first time, I believe, at least on air, by his former on-air anchor partner, Judy Clark. And Judy Clark is a legend up here in Eau Claire, the Chippewa Falls area. And she is still an anchor and reporter at WEAU. So Judy and Pat, the old team, getting back together right here on our set because they were both young reporters at the time who covered this closure of Uniroyal. And we're going to have an opportunity to hear through their eyes and their reporting, their remembrances. And, of course, they both still live in this area. And from their perspective, what the impact of the Uniroyal Tire closure. So looking forward to Pat Kreitlow and Judy Clark coming up at hour number two at 1:30. So it's a busy day today. It's a wonderful day. It's beautiful because as I look out here to my right, you have the Eau Claire River. There are food carts going on. And I think that the vibrancy of this facility is really changed downtown Eau Claire. Again, I've been coming here for 25 years or so. And what this facility and the development around it, and I would say very thoughtful development, has, I think it's a great role model or a great blueprint in how to help revitalize our downtowns across the state of Wisconsin. And of course, you know, Eau Claire, one of the top five largest cities in Wisconsin, so not everything is applicable. But it's very thoughtfully done. There's some great housing down here. There's the arts. As I say, we have the food truck here. There are outdoor performances as well. There's a great walking space. There's all kinds of green space here in downtown Eau Claire. So really looking forward to spending more time up here and bringing you these stories as we go throughout our day in downtown Eau Claire. Little background on when rubber hit the road. It was January of 1991, and Eau Claire's Uniroyal Tire Plant employees received devastating news after 75 years of manufacturing tires. The plant was scheduled to close. As the city struggled to overcome the loss of its largest employer, the former employees struggled to find their footing in a quickly changing world. What would happen next was anyone's guess, but the city hoped to survive, and it was up to citizens to figure out how. When rubber hit the road, is more than a story about tires. It's the story of a Midwestern city's attempt to reinvent itself in the wake of America's manufacturing decline. It's a blueprint, too, for how a community can bounce back when people commit themselves to embracing change. That is kind of the little bit of the word trailer for When Rubber Hit the Road. Stay tuned. We're going to talk to one of the two filmmakers about this world premiere movie tonight, debuting right here where we're at, the Pablo Center in downtown Eau Claire. Stay with us, news right now, followed by this great interview with BJ Hollers on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you midday on a Friday. The highly pathogenic avian influenza has been found in more than 30 herds of cattle across 9 states. One of the symptoms is decreased milk production. I asked U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack about the possibility of compensation to help farmers cover the cost of lost milk. He says so far the loss has been minimal, but the agency is interested in if there are any long-term effects on milk production from the virus that can justify an indemnity program.
Is there a residual impact and effect that is long-standing on the dairy cow? In other words, you recover from the virus, but you don't produce as much as you produced before, right? You produce 10 or 15 or 20% less over the life of that cow. That's an issue, right? We would be interested in knowing that. So it's important for us to be able to get with farmers, to be able to get the information that would allow us to make an informed decision about whether or not an indemnification program makes sense.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Stick around for a look at your midday commodity markets coming up.
Research, promotion, and education, that's where your Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested. Adam Kask is the executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, fresh off a trip to Georgia, learning more about how soybeans are used in firefighting foam.
Yep, that was down in Dalton, Georgia. We saw a demonstration of a new firefighting product, actually a foam made out of soybean meal. And the whole intention is to replace the current firefighting foam on the market right now is made with PFAS chemicals, the forever chemicals that we're hearing so much about. So our parent organization, the United Soybean Board, has been working on this project for at least a couple of years now. So down in Dalton, Georgia, we had the opportunity along with several other states and a lot of firefighters from some of the different soybean producing states to go down there and see a test of this product. It actually worked very well.
Adam Kask, executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, talking about soy-based firefighting foam. Find more at wisoybean.org.
From Chicago, the wheat market is rallying. This comes after yesterday's export data showing a three-year high for March shipments. Also in the news, Ukraine's farm minister expects their wheat exports to drop. July new crop wheat is trading up 25.5 cents at 6.29¾. Cash corn is up a penny and three quarters at 4.61½. December new crop corn up 4 cents at 4.83½. Cash soybeans are up 6 cents at $12.05 a bushel. November new crop beans are up 8 cents at $11.95¾. The June Class 3 milk contract is trading up 27 cents at $19.17 a hundredweight. The July contract is up 30 cents at $19.35. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Plenty of sunshine today, a little breezy too, especially this morning. Our high 67 with wind southwest at 10 to 20, but a few gusts up to 25 possible here through the morning. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening, some sprinkles after midnight, 43 tomorrow. Cloudy with showers early, then clearing 60 on Sunday, sunny, warmer, high of 67. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates radio show. Fascism on the march, even here in the state of Wisconsin. The only thing that may preserve democracy. guilty Trump.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're pleased to be in Eau Claire today, the Pablo Center, on this Friday, the 3rd of May, 2024. We are joined now by filmmaker, and he and his writing and directing and producing partner, Steve Dayton, are the filmmakers of this great film. That's why we are in Eau Claire today, called When Rubber Hit the Road. Joining us now, BJ Hollers. BJ, thank you so much for making time for us.
Oh, thanks so much, Todd. Great to be here.
It's a pleasure of as all ours. I'm really excited because I enjoy locally produced things, but especially when it's someone who has a vested interest in this. For people who might not know, tell folks a little bit across the state about yourself and where you grew up and kind of how you got into this industry.
Well, you know, it's a really funny story. My name is BJ Hollers. I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana, originally. I went to grad school in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, ended up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which is actually called the Tire Triangle. All three of those locations have a tire plant. And so when one plant closed down, say in Eau Claire, a lot of the workers went to Fort Wayne or went to Tuscaloosa. So I always joke, you know, I can't change a tire, but my whole life has followed that trajectory.
So what led you to, what led you into filmmaking, first of all?
You know, my brother is a filmmaker, and so that's always interested me. And for years, my buddy Steve Dayton and I would sit around his backyard campfire. All our families would be running around, kids running, playing around, and we'd pitch each other these film ideas. You know, I'm more of the writer-researcher. He's more on the film side. And so eventually we said, what if we tried this Uniroyal story? And that's kind of how Fireside Productions got its name, and we just decided to go all in.
Wow, that's super cool. How did you end up in Eau Claire, if I could ask?
Sure, yeah. Well, I'm a creative writer by trade, so when you get a job, you just run to that place. And I was so fortunate that that place was Eau Claire. We've been here for about 12 years now, which is, you know, you think you know all the stories in a place, but it always surprises you. And I think the Uniroyal story is kind of emblematic of that surprise.
And I have family in Eau Claire, and I think over the years, one of the things that I've discovered, and perhaps you have as well, is how many creative folks there are in the Chippewa Valley and all different genres.
It is like nothing I have ever seen anywhere else. I mean, it is stunning. I've been to much bigger cities, lived in bigger places, and yet those communities are dwarfed by what we do here. I think the other good part of it is like people want to play together. You know, you want to call up a musician, you call up a musician, you want to get some writers and some painters together. It's just a quick text, you know? And so our film actually makes good use of some of those connections. And we use a lot of local musicians and local folks to help us along the way.
So let's talk a little bit about the film. What led you to, did somebody pitch this to you? Did you stumble onto it? What was kind of the first inkling that, hey, there might be something here?
You know, it's funny. I'm at the library right now. I look out the window and I can literally see the old tire factory. I can see it right out this window. So I'm in this room a lot. I'm typing away a lot. And every once in a while, I kind of glance over and I'd see that building. So it was always kind of lingering in the background. But the truth is, as we were pitching story ideas to one another, we realized there was a unique opportunity in the place where we already were. I think when it comes to filmmaking, you always want to see what resources are available. And for us, it was archival research that was right down the street from us. You know, we also had many of the original tire employees that we could easily interview. And so when people like Steve and I get together, and we've got a collective 7 young children, you know, so we've got to really pick our projects carefully. We can't be jet setting around the world, but this is one in our own backyards that really hadn't been told in this particular style. So we're really excited to add to the larger story.
As you kind of start to peel off the layers of the onion here, I mean, this goes all the way back to January of 1991, when the Uniroyal Tire Plant, the employees received this devastating news, you know, according to what you've written here in the bio, 75 years that Uniroyal had been in the Eau Claire area. And suddenly one of the largest manufacturers is just going to be gone. I mean, what as you peel back the layers, Did one thing kind of lead to another, and you're like, well, you should talk to this person? You know, there's still a lot of folks in the Chippewa Valley who went through this and who have felt the generational impacts of it.
That's a great observation, and that's exactly right. You know, as I was at the factory this morning, actually, just kind of talking to some folks about this story, it occurred to me that so much of Eau Claire history happened on that parcel of land. Before it was a tire factory, it was a sawmill. And so we were originally the sawdust city, then we became the rubber city, and now we're kind of an arts and culture mecca for a lot of folks, and that's what it's being used as for now. It's all kinds of shops for not only industry, but also arts and all kinds of things like that. So it's so wild to me that you know, a couple acres of land over there has, or I guess more than a couple, but several acres of land over there has kind of been the ground zero for so much of our city's future.
We're talking to BJ Hollers. He is one of the two filmmakers for the premiere tonight in Eau Claire at 7 p.m. at the beautiful Pablo Center. It's called When Rubber Hit the Road. It's the story of the closure of the Uniroyal tire facility in Eau Claire, but also kind of the rebirth here. BJ, when you look back and start talking to people, what surprised you during your interviews and during the putting this all together? Was there something there you're like, man, I had no clue about that?
Many, many things. But yeah. I think one of the things on kind of a personal front is the fact that this plant closed, 32 years ago, and these folks are still meeting regularly. They call themselves the Rubberheads. There's a group of guys who meet every other Tuesday hanging out. They were probably together yesterday in this one guy's garage, just as they always are, And mm-hmm. I think of, my own workplace, and we're great and it's fine, but I can't imagine we'll be meeting 32 years from now just to hang out, It's right. Life feels so different these days. But for them, I mean, they were truly a family. They clocked in together. They clocked out together. They made their friendships based on what shift they had, And so it just feels very different in some ways.
I think that's I appreciate that observation, because another friend of mine, former state senator Tim Cullen, has written a book about the closure of the GM plant. He grew up in Janesville and went through all of that. And if you look at what happened in Janesville at GM and what happened at Uniroyal in Eau Claire, there are a lot of similarities. And one of the things, what you just touched on, this, I know for some people it's hard to imagine. It was before cell phones. It was before internet. People actually had to physically get together to have a group chat. And I don't think that can be discounted. That was a social aspect, not just a workplace.
That's exactly right. I think the reason the closure hit people so hard on kind of an emotional sense is because they knew they would not be able to see each other every day, And that seems sort of silly. We're just coworkers, but I like to think they were a lot more than coworkers. I mean, there was a whole social network here. There's a whole archival folder full of photographs of the bowling team, of the track team, of the volunteer opportunities they did, the annual picnics. I mean, this was its own kind of country club isn't the right term, but certainly a gathering place where people regularly got together beyond the 9-5.
Mr. Somers, do we want to go ahead and play the clip now? Is that all right? So, BJ, we're going to play the clip. This is the trailer for When Rubber Hit the Road, premiering tonight at the Pablo Center in Eau Claire at 7 p.m. Here is the work of BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton, about 2 minutes long, and we'll have BJ's take on the other side.
I don't think there was ever a time when there wasn't a threat of that plant being shut down. That was a given. It was just a question of when.
I regret to inform you that the company announced today its plans to close the Eau Claire tire plant.
The demise of the Uniroyal Gooverage tire plant is not unlike a death in Eau Claire's family.
It has been a fixture in Eau Claire for nearly 75 years, providing livelihoods to generations of workers.
But the real impact, the real story here, is the people whose lives now are forever changed.
We all knew at the time that this was cataclysmic. There's no question in anybody's mind that as far as Eau Claire was concerned, this was cataclysmic. I didn't have to tell people that this was an important story.
It just was a shock, kind of like a zombie world all of a sudden.
Do you feel betrayed after making all the concessions that you've made and trying to work with the company to keep it here?
Certainly we do. The corporate people can come in and tell us how they're remorseful and all that. They can get the plane home. We're the ones stuck here to face the battle.
We paid for our own closure. It's just like making you dig your own grave.
Oh, this was a strong union down. They were able to get things for the workers that we were trying to take away from them.
I managed to conceal my pregnancy. Came back 3 days after she was born, and nobody knew I'd had a baby.
And I was actually out walking the highways looking for aluminum cans to try to put food on the table.
If I had to do it over again, I don't think I would ever pull my daughter out of school here. She hated me. Excuse me. Hated what we did to her.
There is life beyond Uniroyal. The end of an era isn't really the end of your life.
So here's a loaded question. What about the future?
That is the trailer from When Rubber Hit the Road, premiering tonight at the Pablo Center in Eau Claire at 7 p.m. I believe tickets are still perhaps available. Call now. The work of B.J. Hollers and Steve Dayton, the filmmakers behind this. We are joined by B.J. Hollers now. B.J., a couple of things stand out to me in that clip for those watching on our streaming, but also just listening to it. The impact of the personal stories and B, just a brilliant filmmaking behind this.
Well, that's very kind. The filmmaking, all credit goes to my partner, Steve. I cannot tell you how many hours he's in his basement just trying to get it perfect, you know, and so that all is a shout out to him. But you're right. It's such a personal story. And the more I talk to people about it, I always want to make clear this is not a documentary about tires. This affects all of us. The city we are today is directly related to the city we were 32 years ago during that difficult moment.
The clip of the woman saying she had to conceal her pregnancy and only took 3 days off and came back. I mean, if nothing else, this should just remind people of where we were as a state and a country, and at least to some degree, how far we've come. A lot of work to go, but I mean, it was a completely different time.
It really was a completely different time. And that was sort of just the general practice, you know? And so her story is particularly exciting. I'm excited to share that one. Not only did she conceal her pregnancy, that's one part of the story. She also became kind of the secret plant poet. She would surreptitiously post these poems after the closing. She would sign them just with her badge ID number. And it was a way for people to go to the boards and read her poems daily and feel like there was some camaraderie even in the hardship.
Wow, that's incredible. As you interviewed folks for this documentary, for this great film, did you find that people were ready to talk about this, wanted to talk about it, or were some people a little reserved and it was still pretty raw for them?
It really depends on the person. I think that the rawness is still there, but at the same time, I think a lot of these folks, many are in their 80s, they want to be recognized, they want to be valued and remembered, and most of all, they want people to understand how this city was built on the backs of the laborers that came before them. And I think the same would probably be said of the lumber era. You know, it's so easy for modern businesses and people to forget the people who came one generation before, 30 years before. But this is an opportunity to honor them, to thank them, and to learn about the complexity of the story.
I think one of the cool things for people in the Chippewa Valley that want to come to this tonight at 7 o'clock at the Pablo Center, you're going to have a question and answer period with yourself, with Steve, with some of the people that actually worked there. I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be really powerful. As a filmmaker, what do you hope that people in the Pablo tonight come away with as they leave after seeing your film?
That's a great question. You know, I think the part that I'm looking most forward to is when I can kind of take a step back and watch people reunite, connect, hug, talk it out. A lot of these people maybe haven't seen each other in 30 odd years, you know, so the opportunity for them to kind of, you know, have a moment to reconnect after all those years, I think will be really beautiful. And I hope that kind of the second wave folks, people more like me who didn't know the story, you know, quite so directly, can learn and can shake the hands of those folks and thank them for all their hard work.
Is there anything, BJ, that we haven't covered that you want to talk about, make sure people know about this film and this project?
I think the biggest thing for me is to help people realize this is a community story, and not just the Eau Claire community. In some ways, it's a microcosm for small cities throughout the Rust Belt and beyond. You know, I think we really can serve as a kind of blueprint for the way forward. When things get tough, there are clear things that people can do to make it better. Change is the one inevitable in the whole story, you know, but how people respond to change is really the key to everything.
Well, I can't wait. We are here in Eau Claire. We're going to go to the premiere tonight. I can't wait. For those people who might not be in the Chippewa Valley and still want to see this, are there other ways moving forward that people can enjoy and view When Rubber Hit the Road?
That's a great question, too. So we have some additional viewings. We're starting to schedule more throughout the state. And so people can follow us on social media at Fireside Productions or go to our website at FiresideProductionsLLC.com, and you can learn about all the upcoming events.
Sounds great. We'll put that up in our show notes as well. Mr. Zommers is always on top of that. Is it true that people can also buy it on DVD if they want
to? That's correct. That's right. Correct. So we'll be selling it that night, and we'll have it on our website soon.
All right. Well, that sounds great. BJ, we can't thank you enough. I mean, just personally, are you excited for tonight? I mean, it has to be mind-blowing, right? How long have you been working on this?
mind-blowing is exactly it. I'm not even sure how to feel about it. It's been over 18 months, and I'm talking like constant 5 a.m., midnight. Every right. chance that Steve and I can get together, we just keep cracking at it. So I'm excited to share it.
The film is called When Rubber Hit the Road. It premieres tonight at the Pablo Center at 7 p.m. Check the Pablo Center. I believe you should be able to still buy a ticket if you're fortunate. BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton are the filmmakers. It's a great project. BJ, thank you so much for joining us. Break a leg tonight. We'll be rooting for you, and can't wait to watch the film with all these other folks tonight here in Eau Claire at the Pablo.
Oh, thank you so much, Todd. Talk to you soon.
Our pleasure. BJ Hollers, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. More from Eau Claire live on location. It's the All Ball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Come on, skinny love, just let's see it. To pour a little salt we will never eat. My, 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 my. Staring at the sea.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show, live on location at the Pablo Center at the Confluence in downtown Eau Claire. Here at the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to be here. Mr. Aaron Zommer is back at the World Headquarters in Madison. What a great opportunity we had there to sit down. We recorded that interview on Wednesday with BJ Hollers, one of the two filmmakers, along with Steve Dayton. But I just appreciated his time, and I appreciated his forthcomingness, and I love the story behind this story, how this kind of all came to be. And here's a guy who's really passionate about filmmaking, but I think first and foremost, a guy who's passionate about storytelling of folks here in Eau Claire and the greater Chippewa Valley area.
Oh, absolutely. It was really cool to hear about the coincidences with that triangle of factories. And also, I don't know about you, but for me, behind the scenes stuff about film is just my favorite thing to watch and listen to. And So that was really cool.
And we'd be remiss if the great music you dialed up there to come back into for the commercial break there. A little Bon Iver, better known as Justin Vernon, a native here of Eau Claire, probably Eau Claire's most famous musician.
Probably.
And Justin Vernon has done a remarkable job of reinvesting some of his financial success that he's had with Bon Iver and his musical success, and reinvested it here in this downtown Eau Claire area, and to really help even more with the arts. There's a cool hotel called the Oxbow down here. There's some other cool restaurants. And again, all these creatives, and I think if you ever wanted proof that the arts aren't just beautiful and enjoyable, but also economically viable, come to downtown Eau Claire. Because without the arts, without Bon Iver, without Justin Vernon, without all the people on these walls behind us here that gave money, this Pablo Center probably would not be here. And it perpetuates, right? Success brings success. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. And if you've never been to downtown Eau Claire, you know, summer's coming. Great opportunity to hop in the car and check out Eau Claire and the Pablo Center. Another... And, Justin Vernon,
Go ahead, Mr. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, another cool thing that Justin Vernon of Bon Iver did is there was a music festival that happened for a few years, 2015 to 2018, called the O, spelled E-A-O, or sorry, E-A-U-X, the Eau Claire's Music and Arts Festival. It was a two-day festival that took a hiatus because they were going to come back in 2020. Music festivals were a little difficult to put on in 2020 for, I don't know exactly why. Yeah. So they haven't gotten to do another one since, but I imagine they will pick it back up soon now that we're out of the pandemic.
Yeah, there's always something going on up here. So if you have a particular remembrance, those of you watching or listening today, of Eau Claire, of the Eau Royal Tire Plant, of the closure, if you have something you'd like to add, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you, 855-75-CIVIC, C-I-V-I-C. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, available for download at your Apple or Android device. Mr. Zomers will take your calls, let me know when you're there, and we'll put you on the air. Because I think there's a lot of people that remember when this happened, that remember the impact that it had on the community. And as we were talking there with BJ Hollers, for folks who might be younger, you know, it back in the 80s and 90s, you know, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have smartphones. There was no chat. There was no Snap. There was no WhatsApp. And so if you wanted to talk to your friends and your neighbors and your colleagues, you did it at work, maybe on the line in between breaks, or maybe you like actually had to go out to dinner or go for a hike or whatever. 855-652-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. And we have Chris here in Eau Claire listening on WFH or WFCW, the tap here in Eau Claire. Chris, thanks for calling in. What's up?
I'm listening on my way to a school board referendum meeting, and I thought I would stop my car and call in and connect the dots to this referendum and in Eau Claire coming up in November with Uniroyal.
Sure, go ahead.
So back when Uniroyal was closing, you know, school districts would levy taxes, and the Eau Claire School District's board back at the time did not levy to the max, which a lot of school districts did. Because of the closing and because of the impact on what that was in our community at the time. And that scenario has affected the public schools in Eau Claire ever since, because that was where we were locked in then with the revenue cap. So it's hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars that is a ramification from that broken funding system, because we were being good stewards and wanting our community at the time. We wanted to help our community at the time. So I thought that was a good connect the dots with all the work you're doing with public schools and the fact that these businesses and industries, when they close, there are 30-year ramifications from some of that.
Right. I still appreciate you taking the time to call in, Chris, and give this local perspective up here. And yeah, it all goes together, right? Our public schools, how we look at arts and education. And as I said before, you know, when you invest in arts, when you invest in public education, it actually comes back to the community in economic benefit.
Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, Todd, for all you do.
Well, thank you, Chris. Chris Hombach-Boyle there giving us a call from Eau Claire. Appreciate it. She pulled off, see, very safely on the side of the road. And appreciate that, Chris. Thank you. Thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, when we were up here, three, 4 weeks ago, Mr. Zomers, with our friend Trigby Olson, and interviewed the superintendent here of Eau Claire Public Schools. And there are just some great things going on. And again, there's a children's theater here that performs here at the Pablo. And so it involves kids, it involves the entire community. So thank you to Chris. If you have a remembrance of the Uniroyal Tire closure here in the Eau Claire area, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And this also ties in, and not just Eau Claire, you know, people that might be listening in Rock County, in the Janesville area, when the GM plant closed there. And unfortunately, across the state, as manufacturing, industrial manufacturing has changed, has moved offshore. We have seen these closures. So it's not just the Eau Claire area where these things have an impact. And unfortunately, at some point, we're probably going to have another one of these somewhere in Wisconsin. So it's a good discussion to have. What happens after the factory closes? How can communities bounce back? That's what we're here for tonight. It is the world premiere of When Rubber Hit the Road. More, including Pat Kreitlow and Judy Clark from WEAU, a reunion at the Anchor Desk right here in the Pablo next hour. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Vol Show on location, Eau Claire.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
The Hayward Muskie Festival, presented by Adventure RV and Power Sports of Hayward, has been selected as a finalist for the Cenex Hometown Throwdown Competition. Show your hometown pride and help Muskie Fest win the $100,000 grand prize by voting online at CenexHometownThrowdown.com. The Hayward Muskie Festival is hosted by the Hayward Area Chamber of Commerce. Join them at this year's fest, June 21st through 23rd, for a summer dose of Hayward fun. Remember to vote by May 15th at CenexHometownThrowdown.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.